You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wolverine Live Recruiting Show here on the Wolverine's YouTube channel. If you have not subscribed to the Wolverine YouTube channel, make sure to do that. It is completely free, and you get access to some great videos. Drop a like, get this video to 500 likes, as this little bar says below me. But we're putting up a ton of video content, both team-wise and recruiting-wise. You can see game clips of all the recruits I see on the road, as well as get some free intel. And if you're not a subscriber to thewolverine.com, make sure to subscribe to that. It is only $1 for the entire year. And little birdies have told me that that offer is expiring soon. I know it's been around for a while, but if you haven't taken advantage of it, like the scrolling bar says, sign up for the Wolverine $1 for 1 year for a limited time. All right, guys, as always, I am here to answer your questions. You guys want to know about Michigan recruiting, so I'm here to answer those questions. So hop in our chat. I have been alerted that you can be a super chatter, I guess, and donate some extra money. So if you donate some money, we will get to your question first, and I will give more of an in-depth answer, and you will take priority, and all the extra money that we generate off the YouTube page goes to my travel budget so I can go on the road and see more recruits. So if you will be so kind to do that, that would be much appreciated. But looks like we already have our first question, and this comes from John Stacy the second. He says, next commit in 2023 or 2024? All right, John, I will do you a solid, and I will give you one for each class. In 2023, I would say there are two good candidates. Nathan Ifobe is one, on 300 offensive lineman out of Georgia, just came off an unofficial visit to Michigan over the weekend, is set to return for an official visit later on this fall, potentially for the Penn State or Michigan State game. They're still planning out the details for his official. The fact that he paid his own way and came on an unofficial during his fall break and spent extended time at Michigan should tell you exactly where the Wolverines stand. I put in an on-three prediction for Ifobe coming out of his visit. I already felt strongly about the Wolverines going into the trip. I had gone down to the Atlanta area to meet with Ifobe, had a great conversation with him, came away thinking Michigan was the leader. And after the visit, I think Michigan has solidified itself in that top spot. On top of that, I mean, Nathan wasn't very shy. He pretty much said in this story, if you're a subscriber to the Wolverine, that Michigan is at the top and the team to beat in his recruitment. The only thing that concerns me with Ifobe is he did not commit on the spot, which leaves a little room for error. Miami is the second school really involved in this recruitment, and Miami has been very heavy NIL. So that's the only concern I have in the back of my mind right now, but I do feel confident that Michigan will get the job done and close with Ifobe. The other candidate for the next 2023 commit is an obvious one. Kendrick Bell athlete out of Kansas City, younger brother of Michigan wide receiver Ronnie Bell. Kind of a guy that's been flying under the radar, but is having a big senior season. Michigan would take him as a scholarship athlete. So let's go ahead and talk about the candidates in 2024. A couple come to mind that are legacy recruits. One is a guy put in an on-3 prediction four coming out of his weekend visit. That is Blake Frazier, offensive lineman out of Austin, Texas. So Frazier's father, Steve, played at the University of Michigan on the same team as the GOAT, Tom Brady. Frazier's a guy that's really interesting in the sense that he's not ranked super high, but I've heard a lot of positive things about him from my guys down in the state of Texas. Texas A&M is another school that is very high on Blake. But Michigan, as you can see, holds 96.7% of the recruiting prediction machine percentage. But he's a big kid, 6'6", 250 pounds. If he had some good weight, which I'm assuming he will over the next couple of years, I think you have a legit standout offensive tackle. So with his connections to Michigan, with his weekend visit, I think that Blake's a good candidate. And another guy I think is a good candidate is one that I saw just over the weekend down at Charlotte Providence Day. And no, I'm not going to say Jaden Davis, though. I mean, he could be one as well. I'm going to say Channing Goodwin, another legacy recruit, 3-star wide receiver in 2024. I actually talked about this at the Wolverine today. So I think that Channing is extremely undervalued in the sense that he's dropped in the rankings pretty dramatically, at least the consensus rankings. I feel like every time I click on his profile, it just keeps going down and down and down. So as you see, ESPN has him not ranked at all. On3 has him as a, looks like a low 3-star. Rivals has him as a mid 3-star. And then 24/7 is the outlier and has him ranked almost as a top 100 prospect. So I think, as always, the answer is somewhere in the middle whenever you have such, you know, rankings disagreements among the networks. I would grade Goodwin as a low 4 right now, but as a On3 employee looking at On3's ranking, seeing how low of a 3-star he is, that's one that pops out at me as being a little too low. I get that Channing isn't or doesn't possess the traits you normally look for when you're looking at NFL potential. When I personally evaluate players, I'm looking to see what they can do at the college level. So he's 6'1", 160. He's not the biggest guy. He's definitely not a burner, but he checks a lot of boxes. This is a kid that just does a lot of things really well. He's a precise route runner. He knows how to get open, has a high football IQ, finds soft spots in the zone, natural pass catcher, has great chemistry with Jaden Davis. So there's just a lot to like about Goodwin. Again, he's a legacy. His father, Jonathan, played at the University of Michigan. But I just think he checks a lot of boxes. He's highly productive. He's a guy that came away with 8 receptions for 103 yards and 4 touchdowns on Friday night. So the guy can go, man. Plus, there's some versatility there too. He starts at safety for Providence Day, which, as you guys know, is loaded with Division I level talent. So that's impressive. He's a great center fielder for his high school baseball team. I always love guys that play football and baseball. And I think Goodwin, again, is one of the more undervalued guys right now in 2024. But I would say Goodwin and Frazier, with their connections, are some commitment candidates in 2024. As always, guys, drop your questions here to answer your questions. Let's go ahead and go to our next question. This one comes from Shadyville03. I'm terrified of our current linebacker depth with just one current commit in both 23 and 24. Is Michigan prioritizing linebacker on the trail? Well, I can tell you that last year's, you know, pools were pretty good. I mean, you had Jimmy Rolder come on late, and I think he's going to be a really, really good player at Michigan. You saw him get some time early in this season. He was one of the hottest recruits in the country late in the cycle. I think Jimmy's potential is extremely high. And I also like Deuce Spurlock a lot. I think Deuce Spurlock has a lot of potential. He's a guy that you know, I thought was undervalued by the services. He fits the scheme really, really well. And then Jaden Hood is a guy that I really liked in the offseason. And then I didn't like so much when I saw him in game because he kind of just looked a little lost out there. But I always thought he had the tools to be something if the coaching staff can maximize his ability. So I think there are some guys, some younger guys sprinkled in there that are definitely interesting. But as far as this class in 2023, obviously you have a commitment from Samaj Bridgman. We've talked about Bridgman on the shows in the past. If you haven't watched our previous shows, I will tell you that Bridgman is definitely a bigger backer. I mean, this dude's built like a tank. He's 6'1", 235 pounds. He's a thumper. He's physical. He's improved his tackling technique this season. I saw him earlier in the fall. He takes really good angles. The only thing with Bridgman, the knock that I would have on Bridgman, well, two things are: for this scheme, you need to be able to run sideline to sideline. I'm a little concerned about Bridgman's speed and how comfortable he is in pass coverage. So you need that speed, you need that explosiveness, and I don't necessarily see that from Bridgman. Now, that's not to say he can't get faster and more explosive. I think he can, especially when you have a strength and conditioning program like Michigan with Ben Herbert leading the way. I think Bridgman's just gotten a little too big, so he's gonna have to cut some weight and then rebuild it up the right way. But aside from that, I mean, there aren't a lot of targets out there. Right now, the top of the board prospect at the linebacker spot is Arion Carter out of the state of Tennessee. He has blown up. He is actually the hottest recruit in the country this cycle. Michigan just offered a couple of weeks ago, but I've heard there's, you know, some traction there. The Wolverines fighting hard to get one of his official visits. I mean, he has numerous suitors. I would say right now, Alabama is probably the favorite in that recruitment, even though I believe he's still currently committed to Memphis. I don't think that'll last too long, but On3, I believe, has been graded as a 4-star. I watched some of his senior clips, and it's not hard to see why he's absolutely exploding on the trail. Now, I would lean towards Carter probably staying in SEC country. And you look at the rankings, like, that's a funny ranking for the hottest recruit in the country right now. No star on 24/7 or ESPN, and a 2-star on Rivals. On3 has him graded correctly as a 4-star. But yeah, I think it's going to be tough to pull him out of SEC country. At the same time, Michigan has some selling points here. Miles Pollard, last year's cornerback signee, played on the same 7-on-7 team as Carter. Michigan can obviously sell Junior Colson, fellow Nashville native that has been phenomenal early in his career at the linebacker spot. And then you have Steve Klingscale, who is very, very tied in throughout the Nashville area, dating back to his time at Kentucky. So I think Michigan's a player there. I just think it's going to be tough to pull him away from Alabama and some of the other SEC schools. Aside from Carter, they're evaluating some others, might have some names over at the Wolverine here in the next day or two. But and like I said, if you're not a subscriber, if you want all the latest intel, go ahead and sign up. $1 1 year, limited time offer. But yeah, that's all I have for 23 linebacker. 2024, I think there's some interesting targets that are high on Michigan early on. Obviously, you already have a commitment in Mason Curtis, a little bit of a tweener guy out of Nashville who can also help with the Carter recruitment. He's a guy that could be an edge. He could be a more traditional backer, even though he's on the taller side. I'm really interested to see him live. He's one that I'm going to see. I think I have a trip lined up to see him next month, so excited to see him. But some 2024 linebackers that I can think of off the top of my head that I really like, traditional linebackers, not edge guys. Aaron Childs comes to mind right away. Absolutely love Childs, the Maryland monster in 24, top 100 prospect out of Good Counsel here in the DMV, same school that produced Chris Jenkins. I saw Childs at the Ray Lewis camp this offseason in Cleveland. and he was phenomenal. Like I said, I think he's a guy that can be a five-star type prospect. Really, really high on what Childs brings. I know he's interested in Michigan. I actually asked some sources about Childs earlier this week, and they love him as well. So I think it's all about getting him to campus. They had a big-time linebacker on campus this weekend, Chris Jones, out of the great state of Virginia, my new home state. He is another kind of tweener guy, up 6'3", 205 pounds, that can be an edge, plays a lot of defensive end at the high school level. Really enjoyed his visit to Michigan. I'll have a story up on him tomorrow. And then last one, Caden Jones out of North Carolina is another taller backer that they really like as a traditional type of backer. He's looking to make a visit next month. And one more I'll throw out there is Edwin Spillman out of the Nashville area. He visited for Michigan spring game and is still high on the Wolverines as well. So some elite 2024 linebacker names out there that have high interest in the program. Let's go ahead and just click on. So this isn't a question, but just want to say shout out to Seth Scott for listening during the hurricane. Hope you stay safe down there in Florida. Being from Texas and actually growing up on the coast before I moved to Dallas, I know what it's like to be in a hurricane. I saw those sharks swimming like from the storm surge. So stay safe out there, man. It's wild. Let's see. I accidentally clicked on John's comment. Let's go to Newber. He has an actual question here. He says, any 23, 24 running backs to keep an eye on? I think Michigan could potentially take another running back into 2023 class. Obviously, right now, you have Cole Cabana committed, who's your speed guy, and you have Benjamin Hall committed, who's your battering ram type of back. But, Hall's been up and down as a senior. He had a good bounce back week on Friday night, which was definitely a positive to see. But they are looking at some other backs. I would keep an eye on Kendrick Raphael. He recently backed out of his pledge to Iowa. I know Oregon is considered the leader for him, but he's definitely a name to know. Michigan's been in contact with Raphael. And then David Mbadinga is a teammate of Benjamin Hall. He was supposed to blow up on the trail as a sophomore. Then he suffered an injury. Now he's back and he's been taking carries away from Benjamin Hall. I know it's not ideal, I guess. I don't know if ideal is the right word. I guess it's not common for you to have two backs from the same high school, but Mbadinga has been having a really strong senior year. He has offers from Michigan State and Kansas State. Again, he's one of the more interesting prospects just because he's coming off an injury. He was pretty much an unknown. You see, even his high school is wrong on his profile. He's at North Cobb with Benjamin Hall. But the fact that he was beating out Hall for some carries, I think, speaks to his talent. It's unfortunate for him that he missed all of his junior year, which can often be the most important time in your recruiting process. But, I also think that height weight's a little inaccurate. He's closer to 5'9", 205. So he's been a little bit of a mystery, but he's been blowing up. I know he's at least on the radar. And there are more 23 running backs they're kind of keeping under wraps for now. 2024 is interesting, man. There haven't been a lot of big names that have popped up or guys that have visited. I'm not exactly sure what direction they're going to take or who they're going to prioritize in 2024. That's a storyline that I'm really interested in for next cycle. You know, considering the fact that these last few lands, you had CJ Stokes, who wasn't super highly touted, Benjamin Hall, who wasn't super highly touted, Cole Cabana, who is blown up on the rankings, but wasn't a guy that was very highly recruited. So I definitely want to see Mike Hart go out there, win a contested recruiting battle, and land a top end talent in 2024. Let's go down to Stephen Brown. He says, say Michigan strikes out on Chris Peel and Jair Hill. Do you anticipate them loading up at cornerback next season, or are there some under the radar guys they're looking at? Michigan's always evaluating senior film. I know they'll at least take a look at some backup options. I would keep an eye on Roderick Pleasant out of California. He's one of the fastest players in the country, ran in the 10-2s, competed against five-star athlete Nicholas Harbor. at some of the bigger national track meets. He's expressed some interest in Michigan in the past. He actually played on the same 7-on-7 team as Samaj Morgan this offseason, so there's a little bit of a tie there. Michigan hasn't completely lost contact with him, and there you see he's ranked as a top 100 prospect on the consensus, which is pretty high. The concern with Pleasant is just his size. I know he's listed at 5'10". He might be a little closer to 5'9". He's a really thin guy, but man, he can fly. I feel like anytime you have that type of speed, you should be definitely in the running to be a take for sure. But he's rated pretty high, you know, across the board. I mean, On3 has him the lowest of the services at 172, which again is still pretty high. So it'll be interesting to see if anything shakes with him. But I know USC has been considered the heavy leader in his process for a while. I believe his brother played there, so he has quite a few ties. But outside of that, I think they would have to kind of just go to the drawing board. And obviously, you know, Clink will press for some guys in 2024 as well. John Stacy, kind of with a comment that's sort of a question. It brings up a good point, though. Osberry, 2023 linebacker committed to Notre Dame. Maybe we flip him. So, yeah, when talking about the linebackers, I really focused on Arion Carter. But, yeah, I wouldn't rule out Jaden Osberry. I know he's making a couple of trips to Auburn this fall. His brother plays there, so that one's pretty obvious. But I wouldn't be surprised if he does make it to Michigan in October, either for the Penn State game or the Michigan State game. This is a guy that was very high on Michigan. He made an official visit in the summer. The Wolverines basically finished second there. And Ron Bellamy obviously has Louisiana ties, being a Louisiana native. He flipped Louisiana prospect last cycle, Marion Walker from Notre Dame. So Osberry is a possibility for sure. I know we don't want to get too crazy with the Notre Dame commits. It's always hard to report on prospects that are committed elsewhere, given the sensitive nature of the situation. But as Notre Dame fans have corrected me, apparently, the Notre Dame no visit rule is actually only for official visits, they are claiming now. Osberry already used his official visit, so technically he wouldn't be violating the no-visit policy that Marcus Freeman has put in. So that's something to just keep an eye on there. Let's go to MRL. He says, can you speak on some of the differences you've noticed between how Michigan approaches recruiting compared to Texas? And outside of NIL, what does Michigan need to do to get on that level? So yeah, that's an interesting question. I think people still kind of feel like I've just came over from Texas. Like I was about it today. It's almost been 4 years that I've been on the Michigan beat. So it's actually been a while since I've been on the Texas beat. So I can't speak for what Sark has done with his recruiting staff at Texas or how he necessarily approaches the process. What I can tell you is from my time at Texas under both Charlie Strong and under Tom Herman, and more so Tom Herman, I mean, Strong's recruiting was good, but it was a really odd approach. I spent more time with Tom Herman's staff anyway, so to give you perspective on Tom Herman's staff, he basically followed the Urban Meyer model. I mean, Herman was an assistant at Ohio State, obviously, and you see Texas right now having the number 4 class nationally. Texas always does a good job of filling out the recruiting department. They have a ton of people everywhere. They have guys dedicated to the high school coaches in Texas. They have guys dedicated to Houston. They have guys dedicated to Austin. They have guys dedicated to Dallas, like regional experts within the recruiting department. All their staffers always have helps, whether it's through GAs or analysts. Like, it's a recruiting machine. The department is so big, and there are so many different roles, and it's all very well organized. I think Michigan has just had a lot of changes in the recruiting department since I've been on the beat. And like I said, I'm approaching 4 years on the Michigan beat. There's been 3 different directors of recruiting. So I've gone from Dudek to Courtney Morgan to Albert Karshnia. There's been a lot of turnover within the recruiting department. So that's one thing that I think is a big difference. I think Michigan has tried to expand the recruiting department. They've added some good positions, like bringing on Christina DeRuiter, who's the director of on-campus recruiting. They hired another person Paige Shivers in her department as well. Obviously, they brought a new director of recruiting in Albert Karshnya. They've got some guys helping out in recruiting that aren't necessarily full-time recruiting guys like Connor Stallions and Denard Robinson that are welcomed additions. But I would just say the structure and the amount of people are definitely differences that I've noticed. And then obviously you mentioned the NIL aspect that wasn't a thing when I was on the Texas beat, but still knowing what the program does, I think Texas is a little more invested in recruiting NIL than Michigan. But Michigan is doing things, I guess, the right way. I have to be careful with how I word things. Michigan's not going to, you know, do anything from a recruiting perspective. You know, I feel like Michigan's goal has always been to prioritize getting guys paid on the team first and foremost. And Valiant and others have done a great job of doing that. I think eventually Michigan's football players will have a type of base salary, so to say, that they can sell on the recruiting trail. And that's different, right? If you say, hey, our wide receivers all make $50,000 a year plus whatever endorsements they make, you know, come be a wide receiver at Michigan because at minimum you'll make $50K a year. You'll make $200,000 if you play 4 years. That's different, right? That's not an inducement. But if I'm another school and I'm saying, hey, man, you know, forget that base salary, we'll just pay you $2 million up front. That's an inducement. That's illegal. So I think there's a fine line between NIL and pay for play, and it's just tough to talk about it. It's tough to gauge who's doing what. But I don't think Michigan will ever cross that line. And I'm not saying Texas is doing so, but obviously, you know, schools in the South are playing that game. You know, I mentioned and throughout the other parts of the country as well. Like, I think recruiting battles with Oregon, with Miami, with Michigan State have been a little tougher this cycle. And it's not like, you know, these schools all of a sudden became recruiting powerhouses. So I know it's getting a little bit on a tangent, but, you know, that's basically all I got, differences between Michigan and Texas. Also, I think the more difficult thing with Michigan when compared to Texas is Texas is really condensed. They're in a talent-filled region. I mean, the state, you could fill up a roster with players in the state of Texas. Michigan doesn't have that luxury. There's good top end talent in the state of Michigan, but Michigan's always going to be a national school. And that means you have to get players from other parts of the country to come to your region where the climate isn't necessarily as favorable. When you're Texas, you can basically recruit all the guys in your backyard and then spot recruit out of, you know, places like Arizona and California and Louisiana. But I think that's definitely a benefit that Texas has that Michigan does not. But I think both schools are fairly similar. I think both schools, you know, value academics. Texas is a very good school as well, not as good as Michigan, but it's definitely high up there from an academic perspective. I think they do have some morality compared to other Southern schools. Obviously, Michigan has a lot of morality. So I think there is a lot of similarities between the two programs. Like, you know, transitioning from Texas to Notre Dame when I had a brief stint there was awful, but transitioning from Texas to Michigan has been really, really good. I think it's been a smooth transition because of the similarities the programs share. Let's go ahead and go to James Howlett. He says, I like tacos. I like tacos as well. You know, I'm a Mexican at heart, so I eat tacos every Tuesday. Also from Shadyville 3, the preview magazine was a great read. That gives me time to plug in something else. We do have a print edition of the Wolverine magazine. If you guys aren't subscribed to that, go to the Wolverine on demand and you can actually get a physical print copy of the Wolverine magazine. It comes out every month. We put a lot of work into that as well. Well, we have more taco debates, hard or soft tacos. I'm definitely a soft taco guy. I like soft tacos. I prefer enchiladas are probably my favorite, but my wife's a crispy tacos person. It's hard to get good Mexican food in Chicago, where I lived when I moved for the Michigan beat. And it's definitely hard to get good Mexican food here in Virginia. So I have not been a fan of great tacos here in Virginia or in Chicago. I definitely miss the Texas tacos. Shout out to Sean, Sean Z P P I Miller. Hey, we are in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Yes. Shout out to my fellow Virginia resident. Let's see. Oh, I accidentally pulled up a comment from Shadyville 03. I don't know what it says exactly. Sorry, guys. Had a little bit of a technical glitch there. Let's go to Aronde Stokes. He says, EJ, what's the real issue besides NIL? We're top four in the country and putting guys in the league and just had the number two draft pick. So, like I mentioned, I think naturally it's going to be a little tougher to recruit at Michigan just because you don't have that huge talent in your own backyard and you have to attract guys from other parts of the country to play in a colder climate. But more so, I also think a lot of it has just been the staff turnover, the staff changes. The off seasons have not been kind to Michigan. Obviously, last off season you had Jim Harbaugh flirt with the NFL and almost take the Minnesota Vikings job. So that was a process that not only happened, but happened for a long time. Like that, I feel like that dragged on for so long that it completely ruined the momentum Michigan had coming out of the college football playoff. And then you've had so many changes. I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine today, and I was like, I've been on the Michigan beat for approaching 4 years now, and I think there's been more safeties coaches than years I've been on the beat, which is absolutely nuts. Again, you had a ton of changes this offseason. You have a new safeties coach, Jay Harbaugh. You had Ron Bellamy move back to wide receivers. You had Mike Elston come in for Sean Nua. You lost both coordinators and have, you know, a new DC. So there's been a ton of changes just over the last few years. And at the core of things, recruiting is still a relationship-based business. And I think if you're not on guys early and you're not building those relationships early on, it can have an effect on that recruitment. And so I don't think Michigan has been able to build early relationships because of all the changes or the turnover. They've always had to play catch up. And then, like I mentioned, there's been three directors of recruiting over the last 3 years. So it's been a change in philosophy, a change in the department. So I think all the changes, all the turnover, the drama filled off seasons have all played a role in Michigan struggling a bit on the recruiting trail. And then obviously you have NIL, which, you know, right now Michigan's trying to do the right way. Let's see. Sean Richardson says, what's the situation with Samson Okolonola? I know he's been showing Michigan State a lot of attention. Why isn't Michigan in this recruitment? So Samson's, I believe, an on-300 offensive lineman out of the New England area. They did have him on campus in the offseason, but I think that one is a little more NIL-oriented. And like I mentioned, we're not really going to go into those waters. We're staying out of the deep water or whatever nonsense Michigan State says. How are we doing with the linebacker out of Mountain View High School in Stafford, Virginia? So Chris Jones, I mentioned him earlier, on 300 linebacker in the 2024 recruiting class, was just on campus. I had a chance to go out right up the highway to see Chris a few weeks ago in game action. He played a lot of defensive end, played some more traditional linebacker, got some more snaps as a traditional linebacker as well. I also saw him in the offseason at the Under Armour camp in Baltimore, and Michigan should offer him after seeing him live. So I've seen him twice. He's just a really good player. He's physical. He's versatile. He's listed at 6'2", 224. I actually think he's closer to 6'3". So I do think he can come off the edge as well. He's ranked across the board as a top 175 prospect, with On3 having him the lowest at 153. But he told me he really enjoyed his visit. He's already building a good relationship with George Hilo. He's quickly risen as a priority in 2024. I think you'll see him back on campus, if not later this fall, definitely in the offseason. I think Michigan made a big impression on him on this visit. And like I said at the top of the show, I will have a story on him tomorrow over at thewolverine.com. Let's go ahead and go down to let's see. Sorry, we still have some taco debates in the comments, I see. Haven Harris says, EJ, besides Jalen and Harbor, Do we have any other wide receivers that we are looking at? So yes, Jaren Hamilton out of Florida is set to come in for an official visit in October. Alabama was considered or is considered the favorite for Hamilton, but it looks like the Crimson Tide just landed Jalen Hale. So I need to do some more digging on what Hamilton's status is with Alabama. If Alabama pushes for him, I think he'll end up in Tuscaloosa. If they don't, then Michigan has a grand opportunity. Hamilton's a guy that visited in the offseason, then things went quiet for a little while. And now it looks like the Wolverines are right back in the picture. So I would say he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. And they're evaluating some other guys. You know, Michigan would like a bigger receiver in the class. Hamilton's more of an explosive guy that you can line up in the slot or in the outside and do a lot of different things with. So it'll be interesting if a bigger receiver emerges. They were interested in Mikey Matthews out of California. They could still bring him in for a visit, but as of right now, it looks like he's not super high on the board since he's more of a slot type. But I think you could see some potential flips or potential late risers come to light as well. But Jaren Hamilton is one not named Jalen Brown or Nicholas Harbor. TP says, does Michigan have a chance of breaking the top 10 in recruiting at the end of the cycle? Right now, I would say top 15 is probably a good bet. I actually looked at that earlier. I was looking at the rankings and seeing where Michigan was and which schools they could move in front of, if there were any schools behind them that could leapfrog them. But I mean, based on my calculations, I would say top 15 is a safer bet. Top 10 is wishful thinking. I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, Michigan had a great close last cycle, but that would require Michigan being perfect. That would require Michigan landing Nicholas Harbor, getting a big flip like a Charles Jagusaw, getting another big flip like a Jaden Osbury, landing some really big late risers. And as you can see, if our producer Matt will kind of scroll up to the teams ranked ahead of them, you know, Ole Miss right now has a better class in general. They only have 11 commits already ranked higher. But you look at some of these others, Texas Tech, 26 commits. I mean, Michigan should move ahead of them. Baylor, 25 commits. Michigan should move ahead of them. Stanford, I don't think will sustain that success. North Carolina has more commits. Michigan State, if their NIL falls apart, they'll drop. Arkansas already has 23 commits. South Carolina has 20. You get up here into, you know, the top 15 and you see the average scores of schools like A&M, which has less commits than Michigan, or USC that only has 18, even like Tennessee and Penn State, Oregon, those are all pretty high scores. So I think it's going to be tough to break into the top 10. There are some schools that have big numbers like Oklahoma and Clemson and LSU. But again, those scores are really high and On3's not grading or taking into account all 22 of those commits. They I believe the number is 14 or 15, something like that, that's used to calculate the score. So there is room to move up past schools like Texas Tech and Baylor and the others we mentioned. But once you get into that, you know, 15, 14, 13, 12 range, that's going to be tough. That's going to require some big lands. Michigan can't have, you know, just a standard close. They have to have a big close to leapfrog some of those schools. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Let's see. Haven Harris says, if there was a role, one role slash person you would add to the recruiting staff, what would it be? So I would say Albert Karsten is great at organizing, getting things rolling. He helps with evaluations. He's very detail oriented. That's all I hear when I ask about Albert, is he's organized, he's detail oriented. He's the guy that keeps the engine churning. But they're still missing that Courtney Morgan type that served as an extra recruiter on campus. So I would add, I don't know what you want to call the role. I guess Albert's the director of recruiting operations, and the personnel department has kind of shifted away from the recruiting department. But if you want to call it a director of recruiting contact, just a guy that's really a magnetic personality that helps the staff keep in contact with guys. You know, the staff's busy. They obviously have games to coach, practices to coach. That's why you have a recruiting department. So someone that can keep in contact with recruits, that has relationships with coaches, that has relationships with 7-on-7 coaches, that has relationships with trainers, just more of a relationship building guy, again, that serves as an extra recruiter that can hop on Zoom calls with these guys, that can play Fortnite with these guys or Madden or whatever the case is. And that can, obviously be kind of a guide on campus. Yeah, I would just say one or two of those guys for sure would be welcomed additions to the recruiting staff. Let's go ahead and go down to Mr. Scott 4673 says, not really on topic, but is Damani Dent still a part of the program? Yes, he is. I believe he is just injured. That's more for our team guys, but I'm pretty confident he is still part of the program, but it has been rehabbing an injury. Jaden Davis, will it help Michigan that he's been the number one 2024 quarterback target? I mean, we'll see. Dante Moore was the number one 2023 quarterback target for several years and was the only guy Michigan offered. And obviously, there was no benefit to that at the end of the day because he committed to Oregon. Right now, I think Michigan's in a great spot for Jaden Davis, but I am very wary of Georgia. He is from the state of Georgia with Julian Sain trending towards LSU. I think the doors open for Georgia to make even an even harder push for Davis. He's always been high on their board, but I think if they really prioritize Jaden Davis, then the Bulldogs will be tough to beat. So I don't know how much it helps that Michigan has made him the only focus. I think it's certainly appealing. It was appealing to Dante, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure how much it matters. I mean, you have to find a way to close with these guys if you're going to take the all the eggs in one basket approach. Let's go ahead and go to Newber, who says, when are we likely to start hearing about commitments? Well, yeah, it's almost, what was like the saying over at the Fort? Like, it's almost June, it's almost July, it's almost August. We are heading into October, which means we have about 2 months to go before early signing day. So soon, I mean, Michigan's going to have to get commitments on board. Good news is they have two marquee games in October. September's games were pretty lame. So for recruiting purposes, I mean, you're going to get a ton of guys on campus for the Penn State game. You're going to get a ton of guys on campus for the Michigan State game. Those atmospheres are going to be phenomenal, especially Michigan State. If it ends up being a night game, like most expect, I think you could see some commitments coming out of those games for sure. So I think October will be a more exciting month of recruiting, as the last ones have been pretty still. Let's go ahead and scroll down and go to TP says, any interest in the Notre Dame baseball commit who runs a 4.28? So yes, the name is escaping me, but he is a local product. He is on the radar, TP. I will have more on him over at the Wolverine at some point this week. It looks like that's all our questions. Looks like I've gotten through all of them. So we'll end the show by waiting for a few more to come in. But surprised nobody asked about Nicholas Harver's official visit. Like, that was the biggest news. And we've got 40 minutes without a Nicholas Harver question. So really quick, I am scheduled to go see Nicholas Harver this weekend in Washington, D.C. He plays on Saturday, actually at the same time as the Michigan-Iowa game. So not super ideal, but also what's not super ideal is the weather. I know a couple of you guys are watching from Florida. That rain is going to make its way up into Virginia and up into Washington, D.C. by the weekend. So I'm really, really monitoring it closely and hoping that Harbor's game doesn't rain out so I can catch up with him. Would be very sad if that game gets canceled. But currently I'm scheduled to see him on Saturday, so should have a lot more. But our national director of recruiting, Chad Simmons, had a really good update with Harbor coming out of his OV. And I obviously caught up with sources around the program and a lot of positive vibes here. I know South Carolina was considered the leader heading into the visit, but I think at the very least, Michigan has pulled even. I know the climate is a little more favorable for track when it comes to South Carolina and LSU, which is set to get an official visit a little later. but Michigan does have some great indoor track facilities. He has a couple of connections to the track program. And then the football side was great too. I think he really enjoyed the atmosphere. While Michigan didn't, you know, blow out Maryland, I think he still really enjoyed being in the big house, feeling like a priority. He had some great individual meetings with Ron Bellamy. Got to see the way he worked out with the wide receivers. He also had a great individual meeting with Jim Harbaugh. I think his family really liked the academic presentations. Remember, his father is an engineer for NASA. His mother is a pharmacist at a hospital, and Nick aspires to be a surgeon. So I think all these things are playing in Michigan's favor. On top of that, his mother is actually originally from Detroit. He still has family in the Detroit metro area, so he's been there a ton. So I think Michigan, getting him back, getting him to feel the vibe in Michigan was really key. So I would say Michigan's right up there. The thing with Harbaugh's recruitment is, man, this official visit, I don't want to say the official visit didn't matter. Like you said, it was big for getting Michigan to have momentum back on its side. But we still have a long way to go here. I mean, Harbaugh might not decide until December or even January or February. He's not a guy that's enrolling early. He hasn't made it clear whether he's going to actually sign during the early period. That's something he's still weighing. I mean, this is a guy that you could see come back for an unofficial visit after the early signing period if he doesn't sign. So I think right now, who leads in Harbaugh's recruitment doesn't matter a whole lot. I think he still has to go through the rest of his official visits. So like I said, he has one coming up to LSU. Maryland's supposed to get one in December. You could see maybe USC creep back into the picture, or another school could come out of nowhere late for Harbaugh. So I think we still have a long way to go. The Harbaugh recruitment is a marathon, not a sprint, but I do love what Michigan did this weekend, and I do think the Wolverines are right up there. I think we have a couple of questions that came in late. One's from Ben Recht, and he says, are you planning on going to any St. Francis games? Other than Michael Van Buren, who are we looking at there? Yes, I am planning to go to a couple of St. Francis games. The problem with St. Francis this year is all their games are away. Like, they literally are on the road every week. So it's hard to see St. Francis, even though they're right up the road. I want to see St. Francis. They do have a home game, I believe early November against IMG Academy, which will be great. I'm excited to go out for that game. IMG Academy is obviously loaded as well. When it comes to St. Francis in general, you mentioned Michael Van Buren. Right now, the focus is on Jaden Davis, so very minimal contact with Van Buren, who's a top 100 quarterback, who I'm obviously a big fan of. But I think he would be kind of next guy up if Michigan does miss on Jaden Davis. Aside from that, not really anybody in 2023. Most of the guys they're looking at St. Francis are younger guys, guys in 2024 that they're evaluating, guys in 2025 that they're evaluating. I think the best player at St. Francis that has a Michigan offer right now is actually Carlton Smith. He's a 2025 linebacker. He really impressed me when I went out there to St. Francis's practice in the spring. So I know that's early, but he's definitely a beast and a guy to watch in the future. But that looks like it's all the questions for this episode, guys. As always, subscribe to thewolverine.com, $1 for 1 year. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is completely free. And yes, shout out to everybody that was watching in Florida. Hope you guys stay safe. As always, go blue.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.